And just listen to the happy sounds of our children so soundly sleeping the last 45 minutes.
Hi, I'm Derek Mast.
And I'm Tanya Mast.
We've got two kids, Rainey.
Hiya!
And Emerson.
Da-da.
And we're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up.
This is the journey of two young homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
Given that much needed rest.
Oh, yes.
And it's not like they needed a nap. Oh, my goodness. Rainey had a breakdown when she saw the lights hanging down the side of the bookshelf.
Uh-huh.
Like a big breakdown.
Oh, man.
She thought it was an accident. She freaked out. And then I was like, no, I meant for it to be like that. That was the sign that it was time for naps.
Boosh. Got that Cartoon Network logo in my head. Binging Steven Universe all up in here.
Yeah.
We should talk about that at some point, probably.
If anyone knows where we can find the next few episodes, because Cartoon Network is stinky.
Network is taking tactics with their entertainment that makes it impossible for someone who's trying not to have cable. It makes it impossible for a cord cutter to watch all of their stuff legally by paying for it. Just let me pay for it. I have the season pass on iTunes.
Like how you can't buy like Cinderella and any of the princess movies, Golden Vault stuff digitally anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Really? When did that happen?
Remember how long we looked for Snow White and then we ended up just...
I forgot about that.
They've like pulled, like you can get DVDs sometimes, but that doesn't really help us.
We're
like a digital everything family.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so Tanya, my chestnut roasting over an open fire. It's Christmas.
Ding, a little ding, bit ding. Morbid though.
Actually, yeah, when it came out of my... There's a lot of these sometimes when it comes out of my mouth, I realize, wow, that sounds a lot different than I thought it would. I was just trying to do a cute Christmas referential message.
Good job.
And tell you how much I loved you.
I love you too.
So anyway, what have you been learning recently?
Oh my goodness. Well, first, I would like to once again... get a pat on the back that, well, you didn't really give me a pat on the back at all. I would like a pat on the back for the fact that I didn't look at my stocking stuffers at all, even though I knew where they were.
Yes, very good. That I think you owe me a quarter, though, for that one, because that is not something that you've learned.
It's a Christmas episode. Don't be a butt.
Okay. I have a grace for you, darling.
Okay.
Yes, no, you get a huge pat on the butt. I mean, back.
I was mostly thinking of that because I think that we started to go into something about Christmas last episode or maybe I'm thinking of a conversation we had with someone recently. Mm-hmm. I'm a little cloudy today.
It's okay.
Just thinking about the fact that if you, our deal is that if you, don't warn me about a package coming that I get to open it.
Yes.
And then,
yes.
Like, maybe you have to get me another Christmas gift then.
Mm-hmm. Derek. Well, no. I never said anything about
I think that
adding
that was the agreement.
Christmas gifts. I just said that.
Derek is really bad. Well, Derek is pretty good about surprises, but I tend to figure out surprises pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
So that's part of the fun of Christmas. Derek trying really hard to surprise me and inevitably fail. Just kidding. you do a good job.
Well, thank you.
So probably none of that needs to stay in, but
I enjoy that though. It's good content.
I have been learning that I am either a far in advance type of person or a nick of time type person. So like I had a bunch of Christmas gifts and I was gonna wrap them in like November, And oh, I decided not to wrap them then. And yet here we are, and I haven't wrapped any of them. And they're probably going to get wrapped the day before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was thinking about my workflow too. And I think that that is kind of the way that I do things. I like to have them done way in advance, but. Mm-hmm.
There is something about that though. Like once you figure out, once you're confident in what you're doing, like you know how to wrap gifts, you know you can get it done like right before and it's not going to be super stressful and you're just going to do it. And so some of
I'm
that
gonna
is just...
I'm going to be in a mood to enjoy it. And yeah. Each of the times that I've had like a moment where I've considered it, I'm like, I'm not going to enjoy it now. So.
Gotcha.
I want to do them all at once. I don't want to like do a little bit here and there. And mm-hmm. It's hard to find that amount of time with the kids. So what have you learned?
So I've learned recently that I hate to say this because I know you're gonna make fun of me for it, that in Jingle Bell Rock the lyric "in the frosty air" is not "in across the air." This is one of those things that it's like in the original it sounds like for some reason this is what my brain tells me that it is. It just because it that sound but words sound right there even though it doesn't make sense.
But I feel like I've already maximized my mockery of you in this, so I don't have more to say.
And I feel like you're getting some of that in my panicked defense of myself anyway. So I think you're probably good. But we listened to another version of that this month because, you know, Christmas! And I realized, oh, that's one of those lyrics.
The problem is that you realize it and you tell me right away with such awe and shock. And then,
then you're like,
I just can't.
Well, duh.
Oh, well. That's
so,
okay.
So anyway, yeah.
It kind of made sense.
Well, it's okay. So you never know if it's going to be, if it's like one of those old timey like phrases. Like, it could be a different phrase for something that you just don't... It's
in
just
across
not,
the air?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I don't know, man. You learned something now.
You grew up Mennonite. I can't judge your grammar too hard. I've also been learning how learning itself happens organically, which we always talk about, but I worry a lot about,
farm
like,
fresh.
Set... devotional times with the kids and things like that, but we also don't want to force them into a lot of stuff and have them resent and not, you know, seek answers of their own accord.
Mm-hmm.
So Rainey like sought out deep like salvation gospel truths this week, which was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wanted to pray right away. Still waiting to see if she understood the gospel fully, but she did pray and ask Christ to be her savior from the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was super cool.
Yeah.
All because we have a book talking about a puppy dying recently and she wanted to have this long conversation about death. My child. Anyways.
That's great. Yeah. And of course, the whole salvation conversation. I mean, it's not... Salvation is not a continuum, but the understanding, like the sanctification coming, you know, from being saved happens over time. So like a deeper understanding of that, even if she can't like mentally spit it out now.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that she has been, you know, given faith and she is, you know, and she is saved. Now, it could be that she's not quite yet, but we grow in confidence as we go along.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it was cool because there wasn't any sort of pressure happening or I think you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a response to the truth that she was hearing, which is super cool.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you mentioned devotions. We have mm-hmm. only just started doing that again.
Doing like month. Advent.
Yeah, we're doing Advent stuff. And I want this to be something that I then continue with afterward.
Here's a tip for all you parents out there. Do devotions together right before bed. And if the choice is between going to bed and getting to stay up with you, the fallout is inevitable. There's been like several times when Rainey's come out of her room and found us reading together and been like, can I do Advent too? And
mm-hmm.
like, sure.
Yeah.
And then back to bed with ye.
But she does ask a ton of questions every single time we do devotions, which is really fun.
Yeah, and we have a really cool Advent book for the kids, and then we have a devotional from Dallas Theological that Derek and I have been working through. Mm-hmm. But I love hearing Derek read Advent to Rainey, because she will gasp over the plot twists of of the gospel story, and I just love it. Yeah. It's such a good reminder to keep
She's
everything fresh.
She's only three. Like, and maybe this is a reaction as a parent that just happens no matter what your child's age is, that you're just amazed that they're understanding or like understanding anything of what you're saying. But
yeah.
Anyway, it's a lot of fun. Second thing I've learned is don't put quarters in your mouth. Now, I have a story behind this.
I'm really scared. Did you swallow something?
No. No. So this was the one time, I don't know, it was a week or week and a half ago, where I took both of the kids to Aldi.
Oh, no.
while you were, I guess you were doing work here at home. And you know, so for those of you not familiar with like Aldi or Trader Joe's or anywhere else that has these quarter carts, where you, to get a cart, you have to bring a quarter, put a quarter in the cart, then you...
That's so gross. Do you know where the quarter has been?
I know. Just hang on a second. So I have two kids in my arm. So, I mean, I get there. I have to get the kids out. I have to carry them in, basically, because it was a long walk.
Your hands were full. You put the quarter in your mouth, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. So
who saw you put the quarter in your mouth, Derek?
So there's this thing also that comes out of this quarter cart culture, that when someone exits the store and they see someone coming up to get a cart...
Oh no, Derek, no!
They're like, oh, here, you can have my cart. And then the other person coming in is like, okay, yeah, here, have my quarter. And I saw this lady coming out with a cart, and she wasn't moving quickly to put her cart away. And I was like, oh no, oh no. And I get up there and she's like, here, have my cart. And I'm like... I take the quarter out of my mouth and I just like stand there awkwardly and like, I don't know what to do. She's like, oh, it's okay. You can hang on to it. It was the worst. Oh my goodness.
I thought this ended with one of our children like sticking a quarter in their mouth, which would make sense.
No. It just ends in severe embarrassment for myself.
Was that really hard for you to keep from telling me about? Or did you just forget about it?
No, it was something that was like, oh, this is going in the episode. I'm not telling Tanya until the episode.
Oh, that's so bad.
So yeah, there's that. All right, your turn.
Quick tip, something that I've learned recently about how to up your classy house game. You just reprogram all of your electronics to speak in French.
I had this in mind too.
I had to reset our Roomba. I thought that it had like kicked the bucket for good, but I reset it and it was okay. But somehow in the process, I set it to speak in French. I realized what I was doing, but I was like, this will make life interesting.
Also, you want a croissant?
You sound more like Chinese than French. Oh, anyways, dear. Like, whenever the Roomba needs to be cleaned or gets stuck or something, mm-hmm. inevitably it will speak in angry French. And what that means is, like, when my robot stops working, it speaks in French. And then here comes Murray toddling in to restart it because he thinks that that's his job. And more angry French. And then it dies again. More angry French. Our house is so cultured now.
Indeed. Anyways. Oh man. You do another one.
Okay.
I've got one more.
I'm just realizing too, I've tried really hard recently to rest, and because I do social media and graphic design, there's not really like a holiday from it, and like when I'm on vacation it still needs to get done. So I find it really hard to relax. And then when I set those times, schedule those times for myself, I find it hard to remember how to relax in a life-giving way. Like, not just be like, oh, I have 5 minutes, I can be on my phone, or like be a bum, but like still find time to create things and explore hobbies and things like that that I used to do. And I think that's part of being a mom, that I keep realizing that about myself. But anyways, if you are a husband and you are listening, encourage your wife to do something creative now and then, or something mm-hmm. that is life-giving for her.
Yeah.
Because not only is it worth it for her, but she's modeling that kind of healthy pursuit of Christ's creativity to her children. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I also learned recently Murray is newly walking, and we went to Longwood Gardens yesterday, and I assumed that he would not want to be walking a lot, but he wanted to walk the entire time, and I didn't bring shoes for him, and he was wearing white socks that were utterly destroyed. So I guess now we know that now is the time for shoes, but I have learned to just always bring shoes and a change of clothes, because he was soaked by the end of the day. But a fun time was had by all. So.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I've learned is recently I went through all of our toys in an effort to just see how many toys the kids needed. So I actually packed a bunch of toys away, and like we have like 1/3 the amount of toys out that we used to have, plus like art supplies and stuff like that, that the kids can initiate on their own. And I'm kind of torn in a bunch of different directions about minimalist living, because a lot of the time when I read articles and resources about minimalist, it seems to be like a style choice that the parents are making, and like this is easier for me, and like I don't like the look of plastic junk in my house, so this is how we're going to do things. And kind of arrogant sometimes. And I know not the case, but I'm surprised how much I come across stuff like that. And it's like, sometimes that tiny cruddy toy from Chick-fil-A brings my toddler so much joy. Mm-hmm. And she's going to like take it to bed with her for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really like hesitant to be like, this is the standard and I'm going to set the standard, because your kids are not the same as you.
Right.
But also, I like the idea of being able to clean up in like 10 minutes or less, or 5 minutes, you know, clean up all the toys. And it was just getting a little crazy. So we definitely like that. And the kids seem to adapt quickly to that. There's one day when Rainey's like, I don't have any toys. And I think it was just because she heard me talking to you about this little experiment.
Uh-huh.
Because she does have lots of stuff. But it does mean that the kids have been reading more, I feel like. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's just an interest in reading.
They're both very interested in reading all the time. Because
Emerson has just, like, every time I sit down, he, like, comes over.
And like
either brings a book or points at a book and then like asks to be up. And
I love it. So good.
I read him that Sesame Street Colors book like 12 times this morning.
Yep. Yep. It's good. Anyways, if you're I got inspired to do this because I heard a mom say that. Well, not someone that I knew specifically, but I read about a mother who had a separate room in her house, which is like. That's very luxurious. That's not going to happen in my life. But mm-hmm. they had all the toys in it. And then each morning and then at nap time, the kids could go in and choose 2 toys or 3 toys each time.
Mm-hmm.
So and then she would just and then they would put them away afterwards.
Yeah.
And she would keep track of which toys they were interested in. And then later she would like. When she purged toys, she would get rid of the other ones. And she's like, it didn't matter if it was my favorite toy or a learning resource or something. Mm-hmm. I just got rid of it. Anyways, I thought it was very interesting. And I was like, I wonder what toys our kids would miss. They got really excited when I switched some toys out. And yeah.
Very cool.
We learned a lot of things in like a week and a half.
Yeah. My last thing that I learned is that Amazon keeps a whole lot more info from their Alexa products than I expected.
I wondered if you would be talking about this.
Yes.
So a couple of months ago, I got myself a refurbished Echo Dot, which is like the little puck shaped Echo device.
With pocket money.
With pocket money, because I just wanted to try it. I wanted to play with it. Everybody has these things. I wanted to see what it's all about. I wanted to try it, see if I like it. And so it's and plus Tanya's phone does not have a headphone jack anymore, so we needed a halfway decent way to play music on the speakers in the kitchen. Anyway, a couple of different
I would
reasons.
Just like to say that I never trusted Alexa, and she also called me Tanya from the beginning, which was a jot against her.
Yes.
Do you remember me saying, "Hey Alexa, do you want to hunt down Christians and persecute them?"
Yes, that's right.
That was like my first interaction with her.
You know, I could probably do a request of information act and find that exact audio file. So there was a story that was released over in Germany earlier this week. So what happened was there was a user who requested all of his information that Amazon had from him. And he got, you know, the downloadable file a couple of months later, and it contained all files from somebody else. So, which that's just a clerical mix up. It's there's something wrong in the process. That's not a huge concern. What is a concern is that all of these files he was finding were not just data from when this person was asking Alexa something, but also when the Echo thought that he was talking to it, and it kept that information anyway, even though, you
like
know,
recordings.
Right, like recordings, you know, the text, the whatever. So, I mean, I fully expect Amazon to hang on to the information that I ask it. Like, I just kind of expect that. I'm not happy about it, but I just kind of expect that from a service like this. What I should not be expecting is that Amazon hangs on to all of the incidental recordings that come from the Echo incorrectly thinking that I'm talking to it. Anyway, I was very upset by this report, and
it hears you when you're sleeping. It hears you when you're awake. It hears you when you've been bad or good. So don't say anything against Amazon, for goodness sake.
So I have thrown out my Echo Dot, which I'm very sad about, but also it deserved it.
I woke up one morning to texts from Derek citing these articles and then a video of him picking up the Amazon Dot and throwing it very dramatically into a trash can.
I should have smashed it with a hammer or something as well.
Smash it with a phone.
Smash it with a phone. So that's all that I had that I learned.
Derek, did anybody in your life warn you about the potential?
Okay. Look, there's so with.
I'm an old crotchety woman when it comes to tech.
You are an old crotchety woman, yes.
Isn't that the thing?
Now, I do not make rumors into fact until I know there is fact. So I trusted Amazon as far as they, you know, as far as what they were communicating, assuming that they were.
When Apple comes out with something, we can talk about that.
Yeah, Apple, I do trust much more implicitly with that sort of privacy stuff. But anyway, yes, you thought this might happen, and yes, it has happened, and now we have proof that it happens, and I do not want that level of surveillance device in my home. And
me neither.
Anyway. So, with that sort of a downer note, it's our Xmas extravaganza.
Yay.
Woo.
Cute Christmas music.
Ching, 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 ching. I'm shaking invisible sleigh bells in front of my microphone.
Yep, ching, good ching, job. Ching, ching, I see.
So we asked you guys last week for questions regarding Christmas and that told you that we would answer them. And so that is this.
You can't end on this episode.
And that is this. So we're... You can
that
end
is.
And so this is. So shall we go to our first question?
Let's
do it. Oh, you know what we should do first is if you would like to contact us, give us feedback about anything or ask us questions. Right? You can ask us questions about anything anytime. You don't need to just wait for the Christmas episode.
But you can't ask us about Christmas anymore because...
Yes, you have ruined
that. Ship has sailed. You have to wait a whole another year.
Mm. Yep, 51 weeks, 52 weeks until you can ask us stuff about that again. Or probably 50 weeks. Anyway, so you can go to instagram.com/settolearn or you can hit up our handy dandy voicemail box at settolearn.com/talk. Here we go with the first question.
Wait, Derek, I have a question.
Yes.
When one records a voicemail, is there an option to listen back and then edit it?
There's an option to listen back and then try again.
Yes.
So you can't edit it, but you can...
I just think that that's a useful piece of information for us OCD folks out there who are like, I'm gonna bomb. I don't know what's gonna happen.
This is the exact reason why I like never call in anywhere, except that one time that we both called into Rugged Marriage, which was a lot of fun. Actually, we did that twice. Or you did, you and I did that, and then I did one later. Anyway, I hardly ever do that because I'm like, oh, it's a one, I gotta take it. It's a one take. And then I can't delete it afterwards. You can totally delete this and then try again.
They never did answer our question. It was hashtag explicit. So.
It was, yes. It was fun. So first question we have this week is from Carissa. What were the traditions for each of your families growing up? What will you keep in your family and what will you add?
You first.
Me first. So I will say first, stockings. I don't ever remember doing stockings growing up.
Your mom said that you guys did them a little bit, right?
We did. So our first house that we were at, we did because there was a nice staircase like what we have here where you could hang the stockings there. And then we moved to a different house and there was just no spot to put stockings. So I guess it just kind of, I don't know if it was an intentional choice or not, but we just never really did stockings.
Other traditions that you guys did?
So other traditions that we did, Scottish waffles on Christmas morning, or pancakes or something. Like usually dad would make some sort of Christmas breakfast.
Comfort food.
Involving some sort of a doughy substance. And which is, as well as maple syrup. And
pickle gift?
That was delightful. Pickle gift. Yes, that is a big tradition where we have a little pickle ornament and whoever finds it first gets first pick at like this bag full of goodies. And then the second person gets second pick and so on and so forth.
And it's really hard to find the pickle ornament because it blends in with the tree.
It does.
We still do it to this day.
Yeah, we still.
At his parents' house. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Trying to think. We did the whole driving around looking at Christmas lights a little bit. We didn't do the live tree thing, so we didn't have
that. You didn't open anything on Christmas Eve, did you?
No, we were very, very
strict. And my family was purist on that as
well. Yeah, yep. That's all that's coming up to mind at the moment.
So for us, we looked at Christmas lights in our pajamas. That was a tradition that we started. Our car broke down the first year that we did it, and my dad had to go to a mostly stranger's house and ask for help getting our car back. So that embarrassment kind of solidified that Christmas tradition. We would set up our nativity scene and read the Christmas story together. We got a live tree and decorated it together. We had Christmas stockings. What else? I think that was basically the gist.
Oh, for decorating our Christmas tree, we each had kind of our own ornaments that we would accumulate over the years, whether from grandparents or my parents. So we would kind of separate all our ornaments out, and we were responsible for hanging our own, and then we'd share hanging everything else.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I guess we kind of did that because we got to hang our own ornaments. My mom kept track. So one of the things that Derek and I have kept is to buy Christmas stockings for each other, which my parents do. And then We fill each other's stockings and open them together alone.
Mm-hmm.
Our first year together, we were so excited to give each other gifts that we opened them together, one gift together on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then we ended up opening all of our gifts then because we were really excited.
We might have been just that kind of giddy.
But every year after that, we've opened gifts earlier and earlier till the fact that I think that last year we opened up our gifts like 2 days before Christmas Eve.
Oh, did we?
We didn't even make it to Christmas Eve, dude.
Forgot about that.
I have a really hard time when I have gifts for people to wait
mm-hmm.
once they're wrapped. So it's probably good that I haven't wrapped them yet because then I would be like, no.
Well, this year, it's going to be hard for you to open your at least one of your gifts before Christmas because it's not even in the house yet.
Aw.
So...
What else have we kept? We do have a pickle ornament. We haven't done pickle gifts yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kids are still a little young.
We've done the whole live. We're doing the live tree thing.
Mm-hmm.
We
haven't looked at Christmas lights. We're still like figuring out together
mm-hmm.
what kind of tone we want to set over the holidays for our kids. And because they're young, we're still like experimenting some.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there should be some flex as they get older, what people are into.
Yeah, so for a while, and this actually gets into another question later, but like our traditions of like whose house do we go to and when do we actually have our own Christmas, there hasn't really been a super clear pattern yet. A little bit, which we'll get into later. But yeah, definitely still in the flux. Like we don't have a whole lot nailed down at the moment, aside from like stockings and things.
Yeah. Good question though, Carissa. Thanks.
Yeah. And we have a voicemail from Cameron.
Hey, this is Cameron. I would love to hear what you guys think about, like, when do you guys really start serious gifts for your kids? Or have you, you know, because I know you guys, like for us, have given us a list of these are things that you can get for them because, you know, you don't really want us going all out. But I'd love for you to elaborate more on what your thought process is when it comes to buying a, you know, less than 1 year old a gift because they aren't going to remember it. So yeah, curious about your full thought process on that. Especially considering, you know, we have a 3.5 week old right now and Christmas is coming soon. Appreciate you guys. I love the podcast. Okay, bye.
Well, Cameron, I will tell you that you just don't need to buy any Christmas presents for your 1 year old at all. Because, yeah, like you said, they're not going to remember them. It's totally worthless.
Excuse you. The thing is, though, that she is going to, like, this is till next Christmas. So I like to think about anything in the next year that might be useful.
Yeah,
so, like, right now, she probably mostly has stuffed animals and stuff like that, baby rattles. But a lot of developmental stuff happens in the first year. So it's a great time to get things that might be more useful down the road. And my kids totally get socks and underwear early on. I mean, mm-hmm. Rainey got like Trolls underwear, which she was super excited about last Christmas in her stocking, I think, because she was potty training then. And it was mm-hmm. like extra incentive. But I think that some good guidelines for gifts are, is it going to bring them joy? Do we have space for it? And, oh my goodness, there was another one that I had that was really important.
Mm.
Is it useful? I don't remember.
I guess we'll figure it
there's
out
There's some
later.
Things that we get for our kids just because it brings them joy. And then there's a lot of stuff that are going to be useful later on. And then, like, I would love to have a kitchen set for Rainey, but there's no way that it fits in our house. And
yeah.
that just means that she gets to work in the kitchen with me, and she's really into that anyway.
Mm-hmm. And play with the kitchen set at church and the nursery when she
But I did consider telling some people to, like, experiences are great gifts to give, especially for this age. Like, one of our gifts to our kids together is passes to Cherry Crest.
Mm.
Which is if you're not in this area, it's like a kid's, well, you explain because you worked there.
Oh, Cherry Crest, it's it would be termed agritainment. So it's a farm, but they have a lot of activities that it's basically a farm that's an amusement park. So there's a corn maze.
But it's not
like
roller coasters and stuff.
Right, right, right. But there's like a big bouncing pillow. There you can shoot pumpkins at targets to...
A building just filled with corn kernels that you can play in.
Yep, that sort of stuff.
And they have an entire area called Sproutsville, where it's a miniature town, and everything is interactive, and everything is wonderful, and honestly, just that area alone is worth the discounted rate ticket season passes. So,
yeah.
Oh, also, it's like 5 minutes from us, so...
OPSEC! Oh my goodness, people are gonna find us!
Oh, okay.
Stalkers!
Also, it's really close to us, so...
That's not better.
Also, it's in our vicinity.
Also, it's like 2 hours away.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. It's fine. As far as the, like, why should you get... I mean, should you get gifts for your kids? It's just fun. It's more for you than it is for them at this point. They obviously, at 1 year or less than 1 year old... They can't really open anything, but it's just fun for them to have a present too.
Yeah. And
that's basically
you can make things or get things extremely discounted. Oh, hey, Goodwill has really nice books for like a really low price. So
yeah, yeah. Just give them some, give them a stick and some twine just to, I don't know, play fishing with. I don't know.
Choke themselves.
I knew you were going to go there.
Why did you say it then?
I was just trying to come up with something that was like, you know, the really rudimentary, like on the Oregon Trail sort of Christmas gifts.
Yeah. But we do give like recommendations, like Cameron said, to family members if they ask. Like we try to have a little list for the kids because we try to have a variety of toys and yeah. And especially, like, I try to put a lot of thought into different developmental stuff that's fun for them. I sound like such a homeschool mom, but yeah.
Yeah.
What are our kids getting for Christmas this year? Should we tell everybody?
Well, I would actually have a hard time. Oh, yeah, sure.
I can tell them.
Yeah. Well, Rainey's getting a dollhouse.
Yeah, Rainey's getting a little wooden dollhouse.
Mm-hmm.
For her little wooden peg people.
Yep.
And Emerson is getting a little wooden tower with little balls and a hammer that, like, you hammer the balls and then they go down the little wooden tower.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're both together getting a sheet of, like, chalkboard vinyl that we can unroll on the floor when we're playing with like cars in our little block city. We can draw with chalk on it and design stuff. And then the season passes. And then they're both getting stuff in their stockings.
Nice.
But yeah. Now Derek's going to say what he's getting me and I'm going to say what I'm getting him. You first though, honey.
Oh, I also wanted to bring up, Elisa asked us a similar question. How do you decide the amount of presents to get for your kids and how much to spend? Do you have any stipulations to follow when buying gifts for your kids? How do you handle your child asking for something you don't deem to be in line with your gift stipulations? So this is more on the other side of, okay, so Cameron's like, do we get them gifts? And then Lisa's like, okay, what gifts don't we get them?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we address that?
Yeah. Well, if we don't have space or if the cost is too great, and we talk about money pretty openly with Rainey. Hopefully, like, not to make her stressed out about life or anything, like not that in depth, but just kind of like if she decides to unroll an entire thing of toilet paper in her room, we talk about like how toilet paper costs money. And if we're buying more toilet paper, it means we won't have that money for like maybe going to Chick-fil-A or somewhere else that we would like to spend money. With gifts, we kind of set a budget that has some flex, but we don't feel like we need to spend every single little thing.
mm-hmm.
in there.
Right.
We tend to always go over our stocking budget, though.
Yeah.
But there's like $300 or $400 extra dollars in our gifts budget right now that we're not going to spend. Because what is that face for?
Oh, nothing. Keep going.
You look so guilty. What are you buying?
Tune in next time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know what to say anymore because...
I break all the gift stipulations.
I mean, I did get you an Apple Watch one year.
You did, which was broke things crazy a little and amazing. Bit.
That was such a good year.
It was.
You were so surprised.
I was so freaking surprised. It was amazing. Anyway, so from Matthew, what kind of Christmas music preferences do you each have? And if they are different, how does that work itself out? Do the kids have any preferences yet? Also, do you prefer originals of classics like Burl Ives, Bing Crosby, etc., or current singers doing their own interpretations? Mm-hmm. You want to go first?
I feel like when I hear people say that they don't like Christmas music, they just haven't found the right Christmas music for them. Because I will say that normally if I'm listening to general sounding Christmas songs, they will be, I don't know if that makes sense what I'm saying, but we don't like listen to super generic. Traditional, like generic, like what you'll hear at Giant or whatever.
Department stores and stuff. Yeah.
We don't listen to a lot of that. I love... like indie folk, simple renditions of Christmas songs. And then I like really funky, I found a really awesome Christmas rap album,
yeah.
which is super good, that I was into, and some compilation indie albums. I kind of like listening to everything but country. So, and then, yeah, so let me look at what my favorite Christmas albums.
You want to pick a song that we can kind of play in the background a little bit?
Yeah, so the rap album that we've been... It's a hip-hop rap album that we've been enjoying is called The Gift, and it's a Christmas compilation.
This is real nice. I like it.
I think I played this some on...
Yeah, that's right.
This
does sound familiar.
Yeah, so I really like that entire album. And it's kind of a different sound, too. Another album that I really like is This Warm December, A Brushfire Holiday. I like Volume 1 and 2. Both of them are just a compilation of different artists, mostly indie. But... my favorite song from this album, and I think Derek's too, is Z of E's version of Frosty the Snowman.
Frosty the Snowman. It's so nice and groovy. Jolly,
I love Z of E.
It's really good. Yeah. And I'm going to try to get all the links to these wonderful songs down in the show notes.
Yeah. I really like her version of No Christmas for Me. Mm-hmm. And then we love Sia's Christmas album.
Yes.
For a little bit of pop mixed into there. Rainey especially loves dancing around to Sia. I was trying to think through what folk, just traditional Christmas music I listened to, but I couldn't find it recently. So I'm not great on that. But most of it has come off of Noise Trade, so I don't know if you could find it anyways. But anyway, give us some Sia. Ooh, play Sunshine.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'll play this in the background.
I love Sia too, so.
It's really good. This entire album is just a gift. I absolutely love this entire album. There's another song.
I don't know how I feel about how much Rainey loves Ho Ho Ho, but she doesn't understand it, so.
I'm going to play a little bit of that here, too. I just love this song for the
but drink responsibly, friends.
Right. Drink responsibly. It's not advocating, like, drunkenness here. I just love the camaraderie of the Misfits coming together and having a wonderful Christmas together. It's raucous and rowdy, and I love it.
I just want to dance around now.
I know. So anyway, that gives you a little bit of a taste of our sensibilities when it comes to Christmas music. I will basically listen to whatever Christmas music. I generally enjoy it.
On top of that, we also love classics sung by like Ella Fitzgerald and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Anything swingy, I'm all about as well, of course.
Because he was talking about like traditional, like I think Bing Crosby and stuff like that. But yeah, we love classic swing music. So.
And yeah, our tastes don't really differ a whole lot. I mean, I'll listen to a country swing Christmas album that Tanya probably isn't going to enjoy.
Gross.
But yeah, gives you an idea.
Sorry if you like country. That's good for someone.
I'm glad you're continuing the...
So also from Elisa, how do you handle or suggest handling the drama that can happen when it comes to what family members to spend each holiday with? Seems to be a big issue with couples and families. This is the quintessential Christmas question for couples who are quickly falling in love. I was trying to find a bunch of sounds.
Yeah, good try.
Well, thank you. We started out, didn't we start out doing everybody in one day?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you were like, stop, help,
yes,
I'm drowning.
This is terrible. Let's do something else.
And then you
please.
Were like, we're never going to create our own family tradition. So this is...
Right, exactly.
And I was like, but everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Except for us.
Except for us.
I love seeing family.
Oh, so. Yeah. It's fun.
But now we celebrate with family on different days.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing our own Christmas morning before we head over with other family.
Yeah, that's what we're doing this year. I think we did that last year too. No, we didn't do that last year.
We stayed overnight because there was a miscommunication that like your family was planning on seeing us and my family was too. And
So there's been a couple of weird years there, but right now the plan is that we do our own Christmas, like Christmas morning, then we do one of our families the rest of the day, like noon onwards or something, or whenever. I forget what we decided.
I think we're going over at 9 this year because we'll be up early with the kids anyways.
We will be. And then do the other family.
Another entirely different day.
Another day. So
the thing is that it's wonderful to be loved and family on either side wants to see you all the time. And then when there's grandchildren, everything just heightens because there's grandchildren and you want to see them. But just like communicating graciously and expecting the best of people and working through. I mean, last year what happened is that we thought that it was my parents' turn. So we promised that we would see them, that we were going to see them during Christmas Day, but we weren't going to be able to come over till later in the day. And then your family was like, wait, actually, we thought that you had told us several months ago that you could be with us. So we ended up forfeiting our own family holiday time in the morning and stayed over at my parents' house and then were able to make it to your family's house on time. I felt really bad about the miscommunication, but everybody was happy
totally
in the end
own,
and then it was
fault.
Fine.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And our last question from Dennis. Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays or something else? There seems to be controversy with some people as to how to greet one another during December, and if you do it the wrong way, they'll be offended. What say ye about the controversy?
I mean, the only controversy I've been hearing is baby, it's cold outside. Gate.
Yeah, that kind of rose last year and it has peaked this year. The baby is cool. It's cold outside.
What's your opinion on?
I just could not possibly care less. I just don't even care.
About happy holidays or about baby is cold outside?
Well, whatever. Everything. I don't care.
You don't care about anything.
This is so. I don't have a super high view of Christmas anyway. I'm not a Grinch. I will enjoy the season. But I also see it as, I mean, Christmas is not the holiday for Christians. It's Easter. Obviously, you can't have Easter without Christmas. But Christmas, the worth of Christmas is in the pagan rituals, not in the not generally in the Christian themes. For most people, if you take away all the pagan, the pagan traditions, Christmas becomes way less appealing for the majority of Christians across America. So, I just whatever, just say something. Wish cheer upon your fellow
Merry
Xmas,
man. I don't love Merry Xmas, but I don't really mind.
Xmas, X is like, if you take the something with Greek, Christ is represented by X commonly in the Greek.
I just don't like how it sounds.
Well, okay, all right, that's fair. That's I am
100%
behind that.
That's
the most
of an opinion that I have over this whole thing. Just be kind to people and say kind things.
Yes.
At least just say happy holidays or Merry Christmas or something.
Yeah. Or just say, hey, hope you have a good winter.
Yeah. I do have an opinion on Baby It's Cold Outside, but nobody asked that, so.
Maybe we could do that in the after show. After the credits roll, we can do a quick rant on Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yeah, but then it's like going to be ending on a deep downer.
No, no, no. We're ending at the credits, and then you get the bonus at the end. This will be fun. We're going to do this. Stick around. So that's all the questions that we got. Thank you all for sending them in.
Wait, I had a question.
Yeah,
what
do
am
you
I
have
getting
a question?
For Christmas?
What are you getting for Christmas?
You said you were going to answer all the questions that came in, Derek.
That was not in my notes. I shared this note with you, and there's... I don't see it. I don't see it in there. Oh, no, you're going to change it. You're going to change it now, aren't you? Nope, nope. Case is closed. Questions are done being answered. Oh, Tanya just furtively turned around her phone mischievously and showed me, I love you, heart, heart, heart. Oh, I love you too, heart, heart, heart. Thanks for joining us. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram or Twitter at SetToLearn. And our website is SetToLearn.com. Keep learning, and we'll see you next time. Now, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
I just feel like it's gonna be ending on a grapey note.
No. Grape is fun. Grapes, like,
I don't mind if people say like they're tired about hearing the controversy, because honestly, I'm tired of it too. And one day, all of the posts on my Facebook were about it. But the people who post the mocking posts about like why you're offended about everything, and here's a reason to be offended about every Christmas carol, and like way spinning it out of proportion, like. There are lines in that song that sound super rapey and that are triggering to people's like experiences where there's been like, I mean, specifically like the answer is no line and the continual encouragement for having another drink, et cetera. Mm-hmm. For people who have had bad experiences where they've overdrank and then had issues happening.
Yes.
I would like to say that again. For people who have had similar incidents happen in their lives where they're left wondering if they should have handled something differently, or like when it's spun to them that this is a cultural norm even back in the day, and I know what it historically looks like, but it's triggering to people now. And for that reason, if you enjoy the song, that is great. Just listen to it in your own home and stop mocking people on the internet about it. Just like, just stop everything. Like, shh, let people enjoy stuff. But like, if something is offensive and triggering to someone, then like, just let it be and stop. Everybody stop. Just stop.
And the glorious thing is, I have been mostly unaware of this because I just don't get on Facebook. People, this is the sort of thing that you avoid and add much more joy into your life if you just don't go on Facebook. It's wonderful. You should try it sometime.
There was like 3 posts and then there was like 30 in one day. And I was like, this is not Facebook anymore. This it is baby it's cold outside discussion.
It book. Hits peak memehood and everybody is just 2018 will go down as the year of the great baby it's cold outside debate.
And then I was like, I want to post something and just be like, shut up. But then I add to the noise. Anyways, here I am adding to the noise. Merry Christmas, everybody.
A Merry Christmas to all, and to all a cold outside.
Across the air.
Across the air.